Let's pray together as we get started today. Father, we're thankful always for your goodness to us. We thank you for the chance to gather together. We thank you for the love that you have shown us in Christ and the chance we have each week to celebrate what you've done in Christ, in our lives, in our church. And we pray that you would bless our time together today as we look into your word in 1 Corinthians here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians. We are in chapter 12. If you've been with us, either with us last week or online, you know we started chapter 12 last week. And as you're turning there, we'll be in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. And let's just look at our memory verse. I'm going to be easy on you again. We won't take words off of the screen. We'll just go through it. They'll all be displayed. So let's read this together. Memory verse is 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except something common to mankind. And God is faithful, so he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." That's the great truth that we've been looking at the last several weeks as our memory verse. And as I said, we'll be in chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. If you have a pew Bible, that's on page 769. And I'll read that, starting in verse 12. "For just as the body is one, and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has arranged the parts, each one of them in the body, just as he desired." Verse 19, "If they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our less presentable parts become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable parts have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. And if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I'll show you a more excellent way." So that is our passage this morning. And as a review, last week we started talking about spiritual gifts. Ace mentioned that in the Greek, it's literally grace gifts that are given. He talked about how those two words are very similar to each other. And these are gifts that are freely given to every believer. They're not earned, but they are freely given by God to every person. As we come to Christ, faith in him, we are given a grace gift. Why are they given? They're given, as the scripture says, for the common good. They're given to serve God, to serve in the church for edification, to build up the body of Christ. So as we start this morning, I want to ask the question, what's your mentality? do you have a group mentality or do you have an individual mentality? Because as I was thinking about this, I realized in our culture, maybe you've thought about this, maybe you haven't, but in our culture, we are very much programmed to have an individualistic mentality. This last week, as I would get emails or go to websites, I just started to just highlight and pick examples of these different phrases that really, they're ingrained in us. They all emphasize me, your. They're all personally pointed back at us. And in our lives, we are just programmed, whether we realize it or not, to have an individualistic mentality. And it's a mentality that can bleed over into the church. And evidently, the Corinthian church, they were struggling with this individualistic mentality. But as we have been seeing, a healthy church has a group mentality and values each gift. The Corinthian church, they were overemphasizing this gift of tongues. They thought, this is really neat. What is the gift of tongues? It's the ability to speak in a language that you've never studied. I could speak in another language this morning, but it's one that I studied a lot. But this is a different kind of ability. It's one to speak a language that you've never studied. We could see that this is a topic that comes up starting in chapter 12 through chapter 13 through chapter 14. And we'll put up on the screen just, Josh looked at this earlier. He's like, I hope we don't have to read that. No, this is very small font, but this is just showing in pink the word tongue or tongue showing up. This is chapter 12. There's chapter 13, 14. 22 times Paul mentions tongue or tongues. So it's very obvious there's an issue in the Corinthian church in this area. If we were wanting to look and see where is the gift of tongues described, it's in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 4. This was early on in the church. And this verse there, Acts 2, 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. This was a extraordinary event. You had a number of people all gathered together in a house. They were all believers. And Jesus had told them prior to this, the Holy Spirit will come not many days from now. Jump over a couple of verses, verse 6 through 12. There was also a noise that accompanied this, and a great crowd of people came together. They're like, what is this noise? So the crowd came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why? Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? So here they had all these people, they had their known languages, and suddenly these Galileans, who didn't know their languages, were able to speak it. It was an amazing thing. So as we get into our text this morning, in verse 12, we see this analogy of the human body that's given. He says, just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. He literally says there, so also is the Christ. And you think about it, we express ourselves in daily life through our bodies. And Christ expresses himself through his body, the church. That is an amazing thought, that we have that honor, little old me and you, that we are Christ's body. He is expressing his love to the world through us. And then we see in verses 13 and 14 the reality of the group. He says, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one part, but many. And all believers receive the same Spirit. We come to faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit enters us, enables us to live holy lives. This is one of the ways that God works and sanctifies us, is through his Holy Spirit enabling us. He says we're all baptized into one body or group. He's not talking about water baptism here, but he's talking about that we are justified through faith, and at that time, when we come to faith in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. It's at that time that we're identified into the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ, he is seen as the one. He is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. If we were to look at John chapter 1, you remember John was going around, he was water baptizing people, but God had communicated to John that one was coming after him who would baptize in the Holy Spirit. And then if we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus was just after his resurrection. He's getting ready to ascend back to heaven. And he tells his disciples, he says, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And it's interesting, in the early part of the church here, there's this delayed reaction. You had believers in Christ. They were part of this new church, and yet they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will be given not many days from now." God was doing this new thing. He was creating this church. And later, though, we see that there wasn't a delayed reaction. People came to faith in Christ, and immediately they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was preaching this message to a large group of people. Acts chapter 10, verses 43 and 44, Peter says, "All the prophets testify of him that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Wonderful thing. It was the reality of the group, the church, is that every believer receives the Holy Spirit. We're identified into the church. So that is the reality of the group. And then we go on, we see the signs of this group mentality, and that is that we value each person. And it starts with us individually, because we need to be careful that we're not belittling ourselves. In verses 15 and 20, he continues on with this analogy of the human body, and he says, "If the foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body." And he goes on, he talks about the ear and the eye, all these different body parts, and he's encouraging us as believers, don't belittle yourselves. God has given each one of us a gift, a grace gift. Don't belittle yourselves. It's evident, very evident, that the Corinthian church, they were so hung up on this gift of tongues. They emphasized it so much that there were some others that didn't have this gift that they were sitting on the sidelines in the church. They had belittled themselves and they had thought, "I don't have that gift, and I can't be useful in this church." And that can happen today. We might be able to look at someone and say, "Oh, if I could have that ability, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is, then I could serve God. I could be used by God if I could just do that." And he gives the examples of the foot, the hand, the ear, the eye, the nose. And we, you know, you put these pictures up here. These are just individual body parts. You think, what can the foot do by itself? What can the hand do by itself? The eye, not much. But you notice in verse 18, he says, "God has arranged the parts, each one of them in the body, just as he desired." So God takes these individual parts, he puts them together. We have a picture. This is not the best because all we have is the feet. We're missing all the appendages, but he's just giving examples. God puts the pieces together in the church, just as he desired. And that's incredibly encouraging for us, that he gives the church a complete body, gifting people as needed. So we need to value each person, not belittling ourselves, but also not belittling others. He goes on in verses 21 through 24. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our less presentable parts become much more presentable. Whereas Our more presentable parts have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You see, the eye can see a place that it needs to go. The eye can see something that needs to be done, but the hand is needed to accomplish the task. The head might see a place that it wants to go, but it needs the feet to actually get there. All of our human body parts, they work together. Some are seem to be weaker, but they're actually very necessary. I have a friend who's lost a good portion of his arm in an accident. I have another friend who lost most of his leg in an accident. I once met a woman that was born with no arms. And you think about how our arms and our legs, they receive a lot of attention. They accomplish great things. But these people I know, they're all still living. Think about the kidneys, though, how important they are. They're not seen. They're inside the body. They're out of sight, maybe out of mind. I have another friend that at the age of 55, several years ago, his kidneys had shut down and he died. The rest of his body was okay, but his kidneys couldn't do the job. So those kidneys, they're absolutely essential. Think about the heart, the lungs, the brain. All of these are necessary body parts. And with our human bodies, we have parts, they differ in the amount of honor that we give them, the amount of attention we give them. Today I showed up, I knew you didn't want to see my feet, so I put socks and shoes on. My feet aren't that presentable. You look around as we go throughout the week, sometimes we see some fancy cowboy boots, right? We're taking this unpresentable body part, we're making it nice and presentable, nice, colorful, fancy cowboy boots, what have you. But we don't cover up our faces, right? The faces is considered a presentable part. Maybe less so for me, but we don't cover up our faces. If I showed up with a mask today, you'd wonder, what is he trying to hide here, right? In the church, everyone's given at least one of these grace gifts. And we need to realize each one is valuable and necessary. And make an effort to give attention to those that we may say, those aren't the more seen roles, but they're all necessary. Give attention to those that are overlooked and realize they are very necessary in the body of Christ. Well, before we started this morning, I asked a few people to come up and help with an illustration. So if you were one of those people, you can come down at this time. Most of these are children, but I think we might have to add maybe David, if you'd be available. Could you come up? Okay, so we're going to have David over here with Ann, and Josh made it, okay. And then we're going to have Phoebe over here with Cherry and Landon, okay. And we'll pull this table out just a little bit. All right, and we'll just angle that a little bit. All right, so Cherry, you can be here, and Landon and Phoebe be on this side. And we'll, can you stand up actually, Phoebe? All right. So we'll have you on that side there. And I'm going to put the chair actually over here. So Ann and David, you can come over on this side here. Okay. So this is a game we actually have played in Trek, although none of these have ever played it before because it's been a while. But in a few minutes, after giving a really lengthy explanation, too long, I'm going to give each of your teams a little baggie of these five bandages. This is the bandage game, okay? So very simply, you just have to, two of you work together to put the bandages on your teammates. So Josh, he's going to be the receiver of the bandages. You have a very easy job. All you have to do is put your hand out on the table, and they're going to put bandages on one of your hands. There's five bandages, okay? And over here, we'll do the same with Cherry. You just put your hand out there, and Phoebe and Landon will work together to put bandages on you, okay? But, you know, our human bodies, we come complete with right and left hands. With this game, you're not going to have a complete body, okay? So, Ann, you're going to put your right hand behind you. You're going to be the left hand, okay? And David, you'll put your left hand behind you. You are the right hand, okay? All right. Now you can probably guess over here. Landon, we'll have you put your left hand behind your back. You're the right hand. Phoebe, you're going to put your right hand behind your back. You're the left hand. Okay. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, right? You got to work together. Let's keep this really hygienic. You can only use your hands. No biting. Okay. Keep the bandages and all out of your hands. No. We don't want that. Okay. All right. So we're going to say this is like a church here. They have a right hand and left hand. Landon, he, whatever reason, he can't use his left hand. He doesn't have one. But they can work together and they can accomplish it. But over here, you all are representing a church as well. But let's say that Anne, maybe she's just belittling herself. She thinks, I'm just a left hand. I'm not good for anything. I can't really help out. Or maybe it's David that belittled her and he said, you just have a left hand. What? We can't use you. Okay, so Anne's going to come here and sit down. She's on the sidelines. Okay? David, your job just got a lot harder. Well, okay. You're looking bad right now, but okay. All right. So I'm going to put the packages. These are sealed, little zip. Okay, so you got to start off with those. You guys can stand over here together. All right. And David, I'll put this over for you. And we're about to begin. Josh, you just put your hand out there. And David, are you ready? You guys ready over here? Okay, so we'll do this on a count of three. Those in the audience, feel free to cheer them on. Select a team that you think will be most successful and just cheer them on. Okay, ready? Here we go. One, two, three, go. Oh, no, she can't help out. She's out of this. No. All right. He's got the bag open there. You guys watch her, make sure, because the illustration's ruined if she helps out. So put it around a finger. Put one bandage around each finger. Doing good. All right. He's already got one bandage on the finger. Now, Josh, you have one hand behind your back. You can't help him out.
You didn't mention that.
I left it out. I'm so sorry. Okay, David's, he's working. It's got to go around the finger, though. Around the finger. Around the finger. Okay, let's see how they're doing over here. Or he's already starting on the third bandage. Okay, here we go. You've got some great manual dexterity, David. It's difficult, but you're struggling through it. Okay, they've got the third one on. They're starting on their fourth one here. Looks like the fourth one's about on. Back over here. He's got two of them on a finger. There's still that one that's up on the top of the hand. We'll say that's my fault. Yeah. Somehow I forgot to mention that. Yeah. Now you ripped that bandage in half. What's going on with that?
Containing blood.
Okay. Oh, they're all done. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. So we get the idea. In the church, everyone is needed to do their job. As soon as someone thinks I'm of no use, or they hear from someone else, you know, these are the important gifts. If you have these, then you can contribute. But if you don't, yeah, as soon as that happens, we lose our effectiveness. We're not working together. Okay, let's give them a hand. Thanks for helping out, guys. All right, and if anybody needs a bandage in the audience, we have probably one or two left over. Oh, they're all used. Okay. All right. All right, thank you. Yes, you don't have to clean it up. It's okay. So it's so important that we value each other in the church. We don't belittle ourselves. We don't belittle others. But realize God, he's given us gifts to be used in his body. We go on, we see the results of the group mentality this morning in verse 25, and that is that there's no divisions. He says, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. When we have a group mentality, there are no divisions. Literally, the word is schisms there, because we give value to everyone. Everyone is a part of the body of Christ, all believers. The other result of the group mentality is that we suffer together. In the first part of verse 26, he says, if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. Years ago, our son Noah, I think he was around 9 years old or so, and one day he was playing and he scuffed one of his toes on his right foot. So he's got this sore on his right foot. And we were good parents for the first couple days. We were bandaging it up, putting some ointment on it, and then I think we just thought it was healing up okay. And we really stopped giving it much attention. And Noah's wearing socks and shoes most of the time. We didn't really see what was going on with his toe, but it was starting to get infected. About a week later, Noah was complaining that he had this pain in his right groin. Now, we have since learned that our bodies, God has equipped them with hundreds of lymph nodes all through our bodies. And so, not knowing this, we go to the doctor, and the doctor, within about a minute and a half, just asked some very simple questions. He looked him over, everything else looked fine, and he said, so the pain's right here, right? Yes. Have you had an injury to your right foot? He says. Well, yes, he did get a little scuff there about a week ago. Take off that right shoe, he said. So we pulled the shoe and the sock off, and he looked. Oh, boy. I mean, it was terrible. It stunk. But the problem started with the right foot, one toe. But the rest of the body was suffering with it. And lo and behold, we started taking care of that wound, and he felt better, and everything was fine. But in the body of church, we're very similar. When there's a problem with one, everyone suffers together. Next, there's rejoicing together. The last part of verse 26, if a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. A couple weeks ago, Cindy and I were in Tucson at a large gas station. We've all probably been to one of these where there's like a dozen pumps or more, and you pull in and there's all these lines of cars waiting to get the gas. And it's always a difficulty. You got to choose which line you think is going to be faster. And so I'm kind of suggesting one. She's suggesting the other. We chose a line. We get in there. 30 seconds later, the one that we had been considering, it starts moving up. And we're kind of impatient. Like, this irks us, you know, because we want to be up there at the front of the line. And then it was like the Lord convicted us. Maybe I was thinking about this sermon coming up. It's like we realized we can actually choose to rejoice with those that rejoice. So if we're taking this passage to heart in the gas station analogy, we would have been saying, yes, the green Ford made it up. Yes, the purple Jeep made it up there. You know, we can rejoice with those that rejoice. And isn't that great in the body of Christ when we can do that? One part is honored and everybody says, hey, isn't this great? Then we get to the last part here and we see Paul, he gives them a call to a correct perspective. He says, you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. And there are many scriptures that mention this analogy of us as a church being part of God, Christ's body. We could look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, Colossians 1, 18 and 24. We don't have a lot of time here, but those are good passages there. He gives this list of these grace gifts. These are not a complete list, as has been mentioned. But you think about it, through this chapter, what are the points that he's been trying to make? He's been making 2 points, that God has designed each gift to be used harmoniously in the church. And the second point is this, that there were and are more important gifts than the gift of tongues. So he starts off in verse 28, and he says, God has appointed in the church first apostles. These were those that God had given special authority to be foundational in the church, laying that doctrinal foundation as they taught about Jesus Christ. He goes on, second prophets. The prophets were those that were given direct revelation from God. Oftentimes, they were given the ability to predict the future Sometimes they're seen as encouraging people, but their main function was that they were given direct revelation from God. And the apostles and the prophets, they had this foundational ministry, as Ephesians 2:20 tells us. And then he says, third, there were teachers. These are those that are gifted to explain the Word of God, not giving new revelation, but taking the revelation that we have, God's Word, and explaining it in an understandable way. And then miracles. God gave some the ability to have miraculous power. Healing is mentioned next, gifts of healings. This is healing someone instantaneously. And many of the apostles were given that ability. But apparently it's one that didn't last. If we were to look in 2 Timothy 4:20, we see an example there of Paul, who had this co-worker, and he left him. Trophimus was the name. He left him in Miletus sick. Paul certainly needed this man's help. Paul had had the gift of healing, but for some reason he left this man in Miletus, and he went on to do the ministry. This is not implying that God doesn't heal people. We probably all know of circumstances where God heals people. Praise him that he does that. He goes on to mention helps. These are people that love to give assistance. They walk into a room, and they're looking to see, what can I do to help? If someone asks for their help, they're just overjoyed. Sure, I'd love to do that or that or that. The gift of helps. And then administrations. Literally, the word is pilotage or directorship. God has gifted some to do that. And then finally, he gets to various kinds of tongues. And as we mentioned earlier, these are those that are given the ability to speak a language, a known language that they've never studied before. And in verse 29, he asks these series of rhetorical questions. He says, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? And obviously, the way it's written, the answer to each one of these questions is no. Not everyone in the church is a prophet or a teacher or able to perform miracles or has the gift of helps or the gift of tongues or a gift of interpreting. But God had distributed to each one different gifts. And he finishes off the last verse that we have this morning, verse 31. He says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And yet I'm going to show you a far better way. Paul's audience, as he writes this, is the whole church. He's addressing the plural group here in the original language. He's encouraging the whole church, desire that in your church you have greater gifts. And it's interesting, in this list, the short list that he gives, the tongues and interpretations are mentioned last. But those in the church, as we go on through the next couple chapters, it's obvious they were in the habit of getting up and flaunting their gift, like, look at me, look what I can do. And Paul tells them, there's a better way to function. Rather than getting up and flaunting your gift, rather than belittling those who don't have that gift, or belittling yourself because you wish you had that gift, whatever it is, fill in the blank, there's a better way to function, and that is the way of love. And that's what we'll be looking at next week as we continue on in chapter 13. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have established your church and you have given us the ability to function together for your glory, that others might see how wonderful you are, that we would serve the needs within the body. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here has ever wished that they had a gift or has ever belittled someone else for maybe not measuring up in our estimation, that we would realize that each and every single gift that you give for a purpose. You give us gifts that are extremely beneficial, each and every one. We thank you for the joy it is to serve together as a body, being enabled by your Spirit. And we pray that you would continue to guide us, help us to be willing to use our gifts, to experience the joy that it is to be used by you in whatever ways those are. We thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.